Hello, everybody. How are you today? This is Uncle Bruce, and today I'm here with Anderson. How are you, Anderson?
I'm fine, and you, Bruce? It's glad to be here again.
Yes, we're here again with the Simply Economics Show. So let's get started today, and we'll talk about the topic. What is our topic today?
Today we will talk about agriculture, Bruce.
Ah, agriculture. And the implications of the pandemic on agriculture. It's going to be an interesting topic today. So
yeah.
Let's talk about some things that are happening in the industry today. But I'm going to start off with an article here, and I'll start reading it, and I'll read this for everybody, and then we'll talk about this. This is from the Williams Shipping Company, and they do exports and imports in and out of Brazil. And so this is a pretty interesting article. It says, actually, the title is Brazilian Agricultural Sector Prospers in Spite of COVID-19 Pandemic, says USDA, the United States Department of Agriculture. So most of Brazil's agricultural sector has been thriving despite the negative effects of the COVID-19 pandemic on the country's economy as a whole, said the United States Department of Agriculture, USDA, attaché in Brazil. So this is a reporter basically making a report for the USDA in Brazil. The agency noted that Brazil's gross domestic product, is expected to shrink by at least 7% this year, while agriculture may grow up to 3%. The agricultural sector is taking advantage of the opportunities in the international market that arose because of the COVID-19 pandemic, supplying a variety of products to foreign markets at a time when other countries are facing production problems and some are restricting exports to ensure domestic supply, said the USDA. According to the attaché, the rapid appreciation of the dollar against the real made agricultural exports from Brazil attractive in the international market. Despite having recently fallen, the US currency still accumulates a gain of 31% in 2020. The weak real also discouraged dollar-denominated imports and fueled domestic demand for agricultural products produced in the country. The attaché reported that Brazilian agriculture, working together with government decision makers, overcame initial logistical obstacles and raised exports of some commodities to record levels amid the pandemic. In addition, it kept the offer on the domestic market at a time when Brazilians increased their purchases of food in supermarkets. The USDA said that while the country has not experienced food shortages or supply chain disruptions, some segments of the production are suffering from greater food insecurity because of price increases in recent months. In general, the attaché believes that the agricultural sector in Brazil is well positioned to face the spread of COVID-19 in the post-pandemic period. So I thought it was interesting to talk about this and to number one, see that in spite of the pandemic, that Brazil's agricultural sector is growing.
Yeah. Yeah, one of the things that the segment is growing is because, as the article says, it's about the weak Brazilian coin. So in the middle of the June of this 2021, mm-hmm. The tax from dollars to real, it was $1 buys 5 reais.
Oh, yes, the exchange rate. Yes.
Yeah, the exchange rate. So mm-hmm. for another countries that has this strong coin, mm-hmm. it becomes very cheap to buy food from Brazil.
Yes, yes. I had a neighbor ask me about the difference between the United States and Brazil. And I told them that it's a different economy. The The currency is strong in the United States and it's not very strong in Brazil. So to live in the United States, you need more money, but it's normal. You know, it's all about the economic difference between the countries of understanding what the value is of money. So the currency exchange rate is pretty important to understand the possibilities of investment and making money with your money, you know, by investing in agriculture from Brazil and then selling it to the people in your country or even another country. It's a big, big possibility for people to make a lot of money right now buying cheap grains and products and crops in Brazil and then selling them on the international market. It's a good investment.
Yeah, for the investors, it's a perfect time to invest in agriculture. Mm-hmm. But for the Brazilians, the population here, it's not so good because the majority of the foods produced, it is selling to United States, mm-hmm. Europe, and other countries. And the price here in the domestic market, it's increasing a lot.
Yes, that's the big problem, is that the cost of meat, you know, that we need for protein, it's become very expensive for Brazilians now. So I even had a student tell me that she bought chicken livers. And she paid 3 reais for half a kilo, which is very cheap. Okay, half a kilo of protein, only 3 reais. But she bought it for maid. She bought it for her maid, not so much for herself, but for her maid to have some food to eat while she was working. So that was interesting to hear that some people are buying very cheap parts of the meat because everything is more expensive now.
Yeah, I used to buy ground beef.
Uh-huh.
And usually it's a half kilo.
Right.
And the price in the beginning of the pandemic situation, I think it was around 15 reais half kilo. It's it's high. And now it's almost 30 reais.
For a half a kilo?
Yeah.
Wow.
Depends of the meat. It's even higher.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Well, that means they're going to sell less. You know, they're going to sell less of their meat because people are not going to buy it. So, oh well. That's how the supply and demand curve works for us, is that when the prices go high, people buy less. And when people buy more, the price goes higher. So it all balances out, you know, in the end.
Yeah.
And there's another article here. And this is from the EFA, which is the European Food Agency. And they're talking about the fact that they see a great increase of production in Brazil and the ability for Brazilian companies to make a lot of money, relatively speaking, because the economy is different. And then the people who buy it and sell it in the international market, they can make a lot of money too. So yeah, it can be very good for both economies, where you buy and where you sell.
Yeah.
So, interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember for investment, it's as I said, it's a perfect time. I remember when Brazil starts to produce alcohol,
the fuel.
Mm-hmm. Fuel, yeah. In the United States, it's made about rice, if I'm not wrong, it's methanol.
Yeah, we also make it from corn.
Corn, yeah. And here we use cana-de-açúcar.
Yeah, sugar cane.
Sugar cane, yeah. And during a period of time, sometimes you see the volume of producer of sugar cane increase a lot because everyone goes to this segment, start to produce sugar cane to to try to get some money, but with a lot of with this new amount of the sugarcane produce, the price dropped and a lot of people lost money.
Yeah, that's the market of commodities and futures.
Yeah.
Yeah, you take a risk. I mean, when you play the stock market, when you play the futures and commodities markets, you take a risk. I mean, you think it's going to go up, but it doesn't always go up. You know, it doesn't always work out the way we think it should.
Yeah, probably this article says that everyone is, oh, it could be a good time to invest in Brazil agriculture. Mm-hmm. And, oh, let's try. And maybe in the future, if the produce, if everyone doesn't buy this new volume of products, maybe the price will drop again. And a lot of people will lost money. And
yeah,
a lot.
They will lose money.
Lose.
Yeah. So it's interesting in this article here, it says that considered the world's largest producer of coffee and orange juice, the second largest producer of sugar, soybeans, and grains, beef and chicken, and the third largest in corn production, Brazil has not been inferior in the times of coronavirus. So we've been holding steady. We've been doing good in the markets. So that's good to hear. I mean, I like to hear what Brazilian agriculture is doing well. In fact, I like to watch the agriculture reports on Sunday morning. I think, I don't know, they have it on TV Cultura, and there's another TV station too, where they have the farm reports. Pardon?
Yeah. The Global Rural, it's called.
Yes. Yeah. I like to watch that because I like to see about farming and about agriculture. I like to see that.
Yeah, there sometimes they shows good news, not good news, but articles about how it works in the farm.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes.
And sometimes I watch, but it's not something that I do with frequency.
Ah, yes. I like to watch a lot because my grandparents had a farm in Michigan, my state, and they used to grow broccoli, all kinds of fruits and vegetables, but they would sell broccoli for the market. And the market was at the end of their driveway because they had a large piece of land, about 10 acres, and they would grow a lot of broccoli and they would sell it to the people that would pass by on the street. It was a very low traffic street. And so probably on any given day, you'd probably have about 20 cars going out in the street. Not many. But they would sell broccoli and they would leave a little basket for people to put money in the basket. And, you know, if they wanted to leave money, okay. But most people did. I don't think many people stole the broccoli. It's not something you want to steal. But if you're hungry and you don't have money, what else can you do, you know?
Yeah, it's a good way.
Yep, it is. So there were some other articles here I thought were interesting. It says the soybean exports are going to break a record in 2021. That's cool. Soybeans are used for oil and for feeding cows. And I know humans can eat soybean.
Yeah. So, and for who is vegetarian, can use meat from soybean.
Yeah, they make a lot of vegetarian and vegan products from soybean. You're right. Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's another article here talking about U.S. Brazil, U.S. and Brazil are expected to constrain the ethanol output in coming months. We need to control. So that's probably because there's a lot of alcohol. They want to make sure they don't put too much in the market because then the price goes down. And they don't want that. So, and then the U.S. Brazil trade rebounds from its biggest downturn in 11 years and rises by 10.9%. Now, this is all just yesterday, articles from yesterday. So information that's current. And yeah. it's very cool that these things are happening. But it's interesting that the GDP is expected to drop by about 7%.
Yeah. With this pandemic, it's as the article says, the agriculture will increase 3%, but the rest of the country is almost stopped waiting for the vaccine to return to the regular life before the COVID pandemic. So even here, I watch in the news, there is some places in the countryside that they are doing lockdown because the situation of the pandemic, it's lost. It's crazy.
And yes. Well, they have that new, what is it called? Variant Delta or something like that? The Delta variant?
It's a new variant. And I think it's if I'm not wrong, a Chinese or a woman pregnant died here in Brazil with this Delta variant last week.
Wow. Oh my goodness. I'll be glad when it's over, huh? So very interesting to talk about the fact that the agriculture industry is going well even during the pandemic, but there are some other parts here. Let's talk about this article here, shall we? This is talking about the fact that in Brazil the president has allowed many different toxins to be used in the agriculture industry. And these toxins are to kill the bugs and kill the funguses. You know, they call it pesticides and herbicides to kill these different things, the bugs and the different funguses. So that's kind of cool. But you know what? All that food that receives all these chemicals, it goes into our stomachs because what goes into those plants comes to us. So. Yeah. I remember reading about this earlier this year, and it indicated that the European market was very leery, very cautious about importing things from Brazil, certain things in particular, like strawberries. Strawberries can have a lot of toxins because they need to use a lot of toxins to make the strawberry grow without the bugs eating them, without the fungus, you know, causing problems. So this is a bad thing, huh?
Yeah. I remember when this, when Brazilian president allowed these new chemicals to use in the agriculture. And before he signed this, as you said, Bruce, a lot of countries from Europe and even I think in the United States says, if you do that, I will stop buying from you. Because a lot of the products allowed in this law is prohibited in these countries. So I remember that in the news says, this product is prohibited in 15 countries, in 50 different countries. And here in Brazil, it's okay. It's good for the person who produces in the agriculture because it will the product will have more time to transport to the new country everything. But it's terrible for who will eat. So you will eat a lot of chemical products, and maybe in the future, like 50 years or 20 years, something like that, you will get problems in your health.
Yep. This is the way it goes. I mean, even small amounts of some chemicals are very bad for us. They're cancerous. They can cause cancers. So do you buy organics in the store? Do you buy organic fruits and vegetables or no?
No. I try. Sometimes I buy the organic products, but it's not always.
Mm-hmm. I think that I might start buying organics. I mean, there's no 100% guarantee that the organics are free of pesticides and herbicides too, but I think they probably have less of them. So, I mean, I don't know. It's a touchy situation, you know, because it's government that's controlling a lot of things or not controlling. They're allowing all these things to happen with these chemicals to be used. And you know who's asking for these chemicals? It's the industrial farmers.
Yeah.
Because they have a large amount of land and they're trying to produce crops, you know, to sell in the market. And their concern is the bottom line, you know, is to make money. They're not worried about the consumer. They're not worried about the people of Brazil as much as they should. They're worried about making money. So that could be a bad thing, really bad, actually. So, wow, I don't know. It's kind of crazy out there with the idea that we have a lot of chemicals going into our food and then we're consuming it, you know, and eating it, and you're possibly going to get sick.
Yeah, and it will be difficult to see the effect of these new chemicals in our food, because it's not something that you eat now and tomorrow you're gonna die.
Right.
It's for a long time. You eat today, eat tomorrow, next year, next 20 years, next 25 years, and someday I'm get sick, I don't know, and you go to the doctor and you have cancer or other problems because of these chemicals.
Yes. And I don't know, but I think it might be like with radiation. It's an accumulation that you start getting more and more in your system. And then it's really starting to become disastrous to our system of, you know, the blood and everything else. Like with radiation, you accumulate and it doesn't go away. So
yeah, I remember one product. It's juice from soybean.
Okay.
And for teenagers and children and teenagers, they change the hormones.
Hormones?
So the children and the teenagers start to grow up.
To mature?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Before the regular age. Normal
time, yeah. So you have a girl like 12, 13 years old with big breasts.
because if you drink a lot this kind of juice, they change your hormones.
Wow.
It's terrible.
Yep. So there are other things too that cause problems with farming, like fires. Fires are a big problem. I think you were saying there's a moratorium on having a fire to clear your area by the president.
Yeah, there are some places that before plant new products, vegetables or fruits, they go to the area, put fire, wait for burn everything, and now I can plant my new product. But with this, we produce a lot of gas, carbonic gas.
Yeah.
Destroy the land.
Mm-hmm.
And may it's a great possibility to you lose the control of the fire and became a huge fire, mm-hmm. like we saw last year.
Yep, there were so many fires last year. Wow, so many. Well, yeah. That's another problem I'm thinking of here is about irrigation. You know, in the southeast part of the land right now, down in Santa Catarina and in Rio Grande do Sul. Sorry.
Yeah.
There's a shortage of water, and even in Paraná with Curitiba area, there's a shortage of water right now. And yeah. It's like, what? I thought it was in the northeast of Brazil. No, it's in the southeast too. So it has to do with the cycles of the climate, you know, the cycles of weather, that it's starting to affect the southeast part of Brazil now too, where they have a lack of water for the cities too, for people to consume and to drink. So it's pretty serious stuff, you know, that you have a shortage of water. And one thing I thought about too is that as I'm looking at this document here in Wikipedia, it's talking about storage, but it talks about transport. And one thing that caught my attention is that in Brazil, we use a lot of trucks to transport everything. In the United States, we use trains.
Yeah.
Trains.
Here we prefer freeways than railways to transport our products.
Well, I heard that there was a lot of lobbying going on with the truck manufacturers. They want to keep the transportation of the crops by truck because they make their money by selling trucks and truck parts. But the rail train, the trail, or the railroad and the railway is much more economical, much more economical.
Yeah.
You know, with large quantities of the commodities of soybeans and sugarcane and, you know, and even ethanol itself. You know, you use trucks, you spend a lot of money just transporting the product from one point to another, and especially to the port. Why doesn't Brazil have more infrastructure for the train system? I don't understand. Tell me, Anderson, what's going on with this?
Me too, Bruce. It's very sad to hear that, because with this amount of trucks that we had, we create a lot of pollution.
Yep.
And a lot of traffic too. And it's very, very expensive, this kind of transportation. But we have a lot of companies that make money with this. And imagine, less in a blink of eye, you said, oh, now it's everything in railways. These guys will be crazy.
Well, I think we need to do some modifications to the infrastructure for sure. We need to have railroads that come from Mato Grosso do Sul, Mato Grosso, and Goiânia, and all these different places where they grow so much agriculture. We need this. We need transportation that's going to be more economical. And yes, there's an expense to get it started, but we need to start.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. I completely agree with you, Bruce.
Yeah, so we need to go to Congress and tell them what we need to have done, because they're not listening to the farmers. We need to have this take place. So, wow, it was really good talking today about agriculture and the impact of the pandemic. But it seems like the pandemic is really not slowing the agriculture down much at all. It's actually kind of good. I'm glad to see that. So, wow. But listen, folks, it was really nice to have you come join us today. Hope you have a good time with the rest of your day or night, whatever it may be. And so this is Uncle Bruce and Anderson saying goodbye for today from the Simple Economics. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, guys. Bye-bye. Oops.